There is lots we could have started the show with this week, but only one thing properly matters. Hallelujah, Blackpool fans. This is the totally Oyston-free Football League show. Oyston's out. Sean Harvey will be leaving too. It's all changed in the EFL, and we too have had a little shake-up in the studio. Some things, though, hard to shake, including our chief statistician, Adrian Clark.
Hello. Yeah, you can't get rid of me that easy.
No, and even though I did my special deep low voice there, I struggled to say statistician. So good to have you here. Whilst Chief Scout Sam Parkin is out and about, we've a man who's almost had as many clubs, former Wimbledon, Sunderland and Portsmouth striker David Connolly.
Hello. I thought you were going to list them all. I was waiting.
And fresh from his voyage to Scotland, our head pastry chef, Joe Crilly from William Hill.
Hello.
How to isolate the totally Scottish football show listeners. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
How was your sojourn in Scotland?
It was great. I went to a place called Dingwall. Have you heard of Dingwall?
Been there.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Clarkie was telling me that he's played there.
It's the family on Emmerdale.
The match that I went to as well was absolutely brilliant.
Which was?
Ross County versus Inverness.
And the score was?
2-2.
Okay, I'm done with that now. Thank you for coming in, though. Joe Crilly's here all week, or at least the whole of this show. We are going to start, though, with the one team in town.
You're listening to the Totally Football League show in association with William Hill.
And the club in question is Blackpool. Manager Terry McPhillips says he needs the off-field situation explaining properly to him, with the club in a little bit of limbo. Lots of you are probably feeling you're in limbo too when it comes to Blackpool at the moment. Tim Fielding is Honorary Vice President of the Blackpool Supporters Trust and hopefully can fill us in a bit more. Hiya, Tim.
Good morning.
So there was a tweet that did the rounds and I think went viral socially. It's the Twitter handle asking, is Oyston out? And the simple response was yes. So good times coming for Blackpool?
Yes, they are. He's not quite, though, out just yet. And that's caused quite a lot of social media activity over the course of the last 48 hours with a home game coming up this Saturday.
So the long and short of it is the receivers are in, but he's sort of on his way out and you're looking for new owners.
That's right. The last Wednesday, the court appointed a receiver called Paul Cooper, who's a respected firm of insolvency practitioners. That there's some technicalities in relation to the issue of the order that means that until that's actually physically been sealed by the court and issued, his appointment doesn't take effect. So I think it's well documented that Blackpool fans have been applying an ethical boycott against the current ownership going back for most of us 4 years now. Mm. And there is just some timing issues as to when actually Paul Cooper will take charge and take control of the purse strings.
And you had a chat with them. What have they said?
Yeah, myself and the chair, Christine, the chair of the Supporters Trust, met with Paul yesterday. But he has set out his proposals as regards how he intends to proceed. And the starting point for us is to know that he's physically in the building, that he's in control of the football club, and most importantly, in control of the finances. When we have all that confirmation, which we're hoping will come relatively quickly, then at that stage, Blackpool Supporters Trust will give the green light from our perspective for fans to return. We've always been very keen, however, that this is very much a personal choice. And there's been some discussion on social media about the appropriateness of returning this Saturday. And I think it's a judgment call for each individual fan to make as regards whether they want to do that or not.
I'm a huge advocate for fans on the board, Tim, and pushing that. As Honorary Vice President of the Trust, will you be pushing that with any new owners too? And do you think they'll be receptive?
It remains to be seen. We, as the Trust put out to the membership what they were looking for in relation to ongoing board involvement. And it is a bit of a Marmite thing for some fans. There's even within our own fan base, there's no real consensus on it. The majority of the members of BST voted that they would like to have some involvement. They would like to have some shares, if that was possible, and some representation. Dialogue between owners and the fans, particularly in what is a fairly unique industry, isn't it, football? For the most part, I think it's always got to be a good thing. You know, while you're talking and while you're understanding each other's positions, it should help you all move forward in the right direction. So personally, I'm an advocate. I'm hoping that in some shape or form, there'll be a very, very good line of dialogue between any new owner and the Trust and other fans groups. Most certainly a lot better than it has been under the previous regime, because the trust has been a trust in exile from the day it's been formed, and the owners have never been prepared to recognise it.
Tim, all the best of luck. Hopefully see you back at a game in the not-too-distant future, which will show hopefully the progression at the club too. Well done on this week. Well done on Keep On Keeping On, and we will hopefully talk to you again soon. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
Tim Fielding, Honorary Vice President at the Trust. David, you've been involved at Wimbledon, clearly. We've seen the supporters get involved there and how far they're looking to progress, if things are a bit sticky, on the pitch at least, at the moment. The frustration, we heard it from the manager, from the fans, not to be able to go and watch your own football club play.
Yes, I mean, what I would say is that there's a lot of silver linings here. They're not in administration, they're not with administrators, they're in receivers. So there's going to be no points deduction. I think that's pretty clear. And actually, their run of fixtures going forward looks pretty winnable. So I think actually there's really good times ahead for Blackpool. Four winnable games, I can't see any points deduction whatsoever. And they've got a real chance, I think, of catching those teams above.
Yeah, the frustration that maybe the manager has been feeling, he'd rather it was sorted out. As hopefully, fingers crossed, it looks likely. A couple of other bits away from the football, at least at the moment. Sean Harvey, EFL chief exec, is going to step down from his role at the end of the season. Joined back in October 2013, says, "I'm proud of what we've achieved since then in what have not always been easy circumstances."
Yeah, definitely not easy circumstances. He's done some good things, and I think that a lot of clubs, a lot of fans of clubs have also had gripes with him over certain issues. So yeah, it seems like football administrators, so there's a whole new wave of them going to come in this summer, potentially. Of course, the FA are changing hands, Premier League as well. So, but yeah, in terms of what the new person needs to do, I think they need to improve the regulations on ownership. Obviously, it's a hot topic. We've just been talking about it with Blackpool. That has to be improved. Surely it's time for the EFL to bring in a cap on ticket prices for away fans following the Premier League suit. I think it's really wrong, actually, that they haven't gone down that route. And yeah, you wonder what it might mean for the Chequered Trade Trophy moving forward. You know, I've not been a fan of that format, so I wonder whether the new person might make changes there.
Three up from the National League. Sorry, that just popped out my mouth.
Well, the irony is on this that he was on the board of Leeds for about 10 years and then he just hit them with a £200,000 fine as a departing gift. There you go. So look, he won't have many fans at Elland Road, that's for sure.
Did you see one of the forum messages?
The GoFundMe page. Oh, yeah. Did you see? It's hilarious.
Leeds fans set up a GoFundMe page to pay off the £200,000 fine, which goes in conjunction with that for Spygate. Yes. That also was announced this week. But they also, the heading of him leaving was something like some 48-year-old about to leave their position. We've talked a lot about his age, actually.
Yeah, it makes me as a 44-year-old feel a bit better about myself, I've got to say. But being a football administrator, so it's not easy, of course.
Sorry, I interrupted you, David, just to make that point. They weren't going to say his name.
It could be valid, yes. But look, the TV deal, I think they negotiated. I don't think it was very good.
That wound a lot up, didn't it?
It did. Yeah. And to be honest, I don't think he'll be sorely missed, will he? Let's be frank.
No, I think the writing was on the wall once he went ahead with that TV deal. That was the straw that broke the camel's back, really. And this parting of the ways was inevitable. I did think he sold the champ or the EFL short a little bit with that deal. He got a bit over eager, shall we say. On Leeds, though, I actually think they've got that punishment
bless
right.
You, Joe Crilly.
Yeah, you're right, Joe.
Bless you, Joe Crilly. Was that an aggressive sneeze on Leeds, though?
That was passive aggressive, wasn't it? That was.
Subtitles provided by Joe's nose.
I just think that in my view, got that right in terms of, let's bring in a new rule. We can't do nothing to Leeds. We'll hit them with a fine. And it's quite a big fine, but probably worthy considering it was, you know, several times that they did go and spy on opposition teams. So I do think that he's got that one correct.
You think that's big? I think £200,000 is big, huge, clearly, all of us in that position. But I thought it might be more.
I don't see how you can enforce this. How can you say from a vague regulation, oh, do you know what, we'll just pluck a finger out, 200,000. I mean, he's just negotiating and making things up as he goes along. Look, he hasn't left a legacy. I think that Scudamore left the Premier League, obviously a massive TV deal. Why you let someone leave and just negotiate a TV deal and then just make it, oh, pick a random figure, £200,000. I don't get it. There's no law. You're not obviously allowed. It's not ethical, I guess, but really to try and find a way in the money and I don't get it. I don't see how that actually they should accept that. They probably will. They'll pay it and move on.
I'm just leaving a pregnant pause for any more sneezing. Nope. Good. Let's go to the football, shall we?
Make this an Every Saturday Super with the Super Saturday Reloaded coupon from William Hill. Available in all William Hill branches across the UK. With more prizes on offer than ever before, your new Super Saturday competitions offer you the chance to win a share of £1 million and some additional extra goodies specific to your region. All you have to do is select the number of goals, corners and cards across three selected football matches. Super Saturday football and racing competitions are free to enter when you bet £10 at your local William Hill. T's and C's apply. You can find out more at williamhill.com. And remember, when the fun stops, stop.
Norwich then back top of the Championship after comfortably beating struggling Bolton 4-0. Struggling Bolton, sorry. Timu Pukki scoring twice. Leeds didn't play this weekend and Sheffield United moved into the automatics courtesy of another 4-0 win, this time over Reading. Freeman scoring after just 39 seconds, but that's only the fourth fastest goal in the league this season. The fourth fastest at the other end of the clock. Dominic Iorfa's point-saving goal for Sheffield Wednesday was the second latest at 99 minutes and 10 seconds. Elsewhere, Villa lost to West Brom. Borough beat 10-man Blackburn. Ipswich salvaged a point against Stoke. Preston and Nottingham Forest played out a goalless draw, with the Lilywhites extending their unbeaten run to 7 games. I did throw an apology in there just for you, Joe. Anything you want to say about Bolton?
It was kind of a mixed bag of a week for Bolton Wanderers, because during the week they beat Birmingham away to complete a double over a team, bizarrely, this season.
Bizarre is the right word.
Yeah, so they were quite lucky, but the manager, Phil Parkinson, changed things up a little bit, played two up front, brought in Mark Beavers again to play alongside David Wheaty. They seem to have a very good partnership. However, they are both incredibly slow. And dealing with the two big lads for Birmingham, Adams and Jutkiewicz, was a lot more of an easy task for them than coming up against Norwich. And there's been a few of the Norwich goals posted online saying, is this Brazil? Is this Barcelona? They were absolutely fantastic. And Parkinson stuck with that two up front, Beavers and Wheaty at the back. But it clearly didn't work against Norwich. However, one positive is that Bolton's goalkeeper made Team of the Week, Championship Team of the Week. And he conceded 4 goals, but he was brilliant. Former Norwich goalkeeper Remy Matthews saved a penalty, which I believe was Norwich's 6th missed penalty of the season.
Don't need him.
Out of 7.
Don't need him at the moment, do they?
But he saved a penalty and made a number of fantastic saves. And it looks like he may well have wrestled the number one jersey off Ben Anik.
I saw the Are You Brazil in Disguise. I also saw Are You Wolves in Disguise, because there were flashes. Well, actually, all 4 goals where you thought, whoa.
Yeah, just incredible composure in possession, the movement, the quality of the finishing.
Team.
From all of the guys, really. Steeperman, Brendia, and obviously the brace from Pukki. I mean, Pukki's goals are just ridiculously good. He looks a Premier League player, doesn't he? He is excellent.
Did you think that at the start of the season? And did you think that, David? Mm-hmm. I mean, when he started scoring, oh, look, Pukki's got a goal. Did any of us sit here and think?
I didn't, but
I don't think so. I think he's caught everyone
the opportunity to say.
No, I won't take credit for that. I mean, I don't think anyone. And to be honest, he doesn't look like a Premier League forward. No. He looks similar body shape to Billy Sharp. In effect, you know, he's a bit barrel-chested. He doesn't look particularly athletic, but he can get away from you. He showed real good composure to duck back inside, and he looked in one corner, bent it in the other. I mean, it's a terrific finish. And, you know, it does help when you've got a really good back four. You know, they've got two terrific fullbacks. They don't concede many goals, and obviously they just flood forward, playing superb football. I think the big result for them was beating Leeds. That really set them up, and there looks like no stopping them now.
Yeah, they were stunning, weren't they, at Leeds? Obviously, they did have that setback at Preston since we last recorded the show, which was, I think they were quite unlucky in that game. They peppered the goal and it didn't quite come off for them, but the reaction is brilliant. It's a competition for places as well. I've identified throughout the season a defensive midfield position as a possible weak spot, and with that, I guess I meant Alex Tetti. And a lot of Norwich fans sort of was defending him.
Yeah.
But Tribal's in the team at the moment in that position. I think he's playing really, really well. So you've got competition in that zone. You've got Leitner to come back in, Vrančić as well. So, yeah, it's hard to see how they're going to fall off a cliff here, Norwich, unless, of course, they lose Pukki to injury. That's the one thing you would say, that they don't have a plethora of strikers. Obviously, you've got Jordan Rhodes. Beyond that, not a whole bunch of centre forwards.
What I think is interesting is that those strikers at the top now are so expensive for people to come and take them now in January, you know, that invariably they're going to keep hold of them. So, you know, so whether it's the likes of Sharp or Shea Adams, for example, or Pukki, you know, you're talking 15, 20 million, Mopay. And yeah, it's a lot of money for a Premier League team to fork out.
Number one, let Krul take penalties from here on in. Yeah, I'm a big fan of the keepers taking the penalties. Number two, Joe Crilly. Will anyone budge them? Norwich going to go up?
It's quite interesting behind them in the betting. Obviously, Leeds have a game in hand now. Norwich, 13-8 favourites to win the league. Leeds just behind them at 7-4. Sheffield United, 4-1. It's all incredibly close between those three teams. But West Brom aren't out of the mix either. And they're 8-1 to win the title. If we're talking about going up into the Premier League, the promotion odds are Leeds 2-5, Norwich 4-9, Sheffield United 8-13, West Brom just a shade above evens at 5-4. So again, all incredibly close.
Sheffield United with their own 4-0 over Reading. Billy Sharp, who needs him, mate? Pukki scored 6 games in a row. He's overtaken Billy Sharp as top scorer. I'll get the odds on him staying there as well with 23 for the season. But Sheffield United 4-0 over Reading. Kieran Freeman, did you two watch this one?
Yes, I mean, a brilliant performance. And look, he gambled, didn't he, in terms of his team selection, which is when you're a manager and you do that, and obviously you score 4 goals, keep a clean sheet. I mean, how good must he feel? He's on top. To me, I think they're going to go up. Automatically, I think Sheffield will go up. They've got, I mean, their front line is incredible.
They've got as 4. Well, don't they? You think it's kind of the back end of the season they'll do better?
Yes, I think so. Look, they've steadily built from last season. Mm. Yeah, and he's added to that. And the players he had last season have improved. You know, no one took a chance on McGoldrick. He did. You know, he's been brilliant. Obviously, Billy Sharp scoring goals for fun. No sign of them abating. And then he's brought in Medine and Hogan as well. So there's plenty of options there. And their goal difference is massive. I think it's plus 24. They're right up there. I think they're going to actually claim that second spot.
They're certainly in the form to do it. The momentum's with them. And what they do have that Leeds and Norwich don't is a quartet of strikers. We just talked about it there, didn't we? With Norwich, it's Pukki or Rhodes. With Leeds, it's Roof or Bamford, really. They've got 4. And I think this was really astute ahead of these big games to come. He thought, Reading, at home to Reading, I think that Hogan and Medine can do the job for me here. It would get them match fit for when he really needs them in those games when he has to freshen up the team in the months to come. So it is all looking great. The stand-ins came in and did a terrific job.
Sharp and McGoldrick, you mentioned the changes up. 33 goals between them a season, just short by one of Reading's tally for their whole team this season. So that's ridiculous as it sounds. When you say that Sheffield United will go up automatically, what do you see then, apart from the strikers, that he's able to do tactically as a manager? Because a lot's been levelled at whether he tactically has got the nous to take them up and through.
He definitely has. Look, I've seen these live probably 3 or 4 times now, so it's different when you watch them live. I saw them at Reading and it wasn't working, it wasn't very good. Reading done nothing at half time, it was 0-0. He made 2 changes and he went for it. And as the game went on, he went for it again. He was brave, he committed players forward, he allowed his 2 outside centre halves to go into the opposite. In fact, the first goal I think came from one of them, Basham, crossing from the byline. So to me, you know, he might look old and a bit of a dinosaur, like he's been in the lower leagues, but he is actually coaching and setting his team up. They play a back three better than, for example, in my opinion, some clubs in the Premier League that play a back three. I mean, I think he's got it down brilliantly. I really do. And, you know, they're really good players. And in midfield, they've got the likes of Norwood. He's always been a bridesmaid, never the bride, you know, with Brighton, Fulham, Fleck. They've got real quality. Honestly, I think they're going to take that second spot.
And that's also an accusation that's been levelled at Darren Moore, not once, not twice, but a few times this season too, about tactically whether he's got enough to take his team up.
Yeah, that is a good point. Yeah, so I think they're quite sophisticated in their style, Sheffield United. So no, I echo those words. As for West Brom, look, they've tried different things, haven't they? They've not been married to one system under Darren Moore. And it was fascinating, wasn't it, to hear him talk about fixing the forward line before the defence. And that was really sensible, because that was one thing that they hadn't really nailed in the Premier League. They weren't adventurous enough. So
2-0 winner.
Yeah, very good performance, wasn't it? They've thoroughly deserved it against Villa. So no, you can't write off the Baggies. I just still think that without the ball at the back, they're not quite good enough to be in the top two.
2-0 win for West Brom at Aston Villa. Any of the other results from the weekend?
I was going to pick out the Yorkshire Derby, actually. Rotherham against Sheffield Wednesday. Absolute blinding game, basically. It was full throttle the whole way. Rotherham was superb. I think that Michael Smith might have produced one of the best centre-forward performances of the season. Just so powerful, real handful. And
it was described on the BBC as the most brain-melting finishes to a football match.
Yeah, that's pretty good, actually. And I like the fact that at the end, the two managers were bemoaning the clock. And it just made me think, should we not bring in something new here? Like a countdown clock or something in the corner. When the referee says, right, or the fourth official says,
has it got
eight
music?
Minutes. That's it, they can play the music as you go. Just have that countdown clock in the corner just so that we know. And if there is a stoppage, boom, it stops. So we absolutely know 10, 9, when the game finishes. Because it actually winds me up when referees, and they all do it, David, don't they, where you can see them, they're looking at their watch and they're thinking, oh, let's just see what happens here. I'm a bit curious. We'll wait for a stoppage.
Paul Warren says, I just don't get it. I had a digital watch on. I asked him how long. He said 8 minutes. I don't know where the extra time has come from. If there is extra time on the eight, then I don't know where from. There was no injury, no goal, no substitution. Steve Bruce. I'm not too sure what he's done afterwards with Forestieri. Then says about goes on to talk about that, to pick on Forestieri because he's a Loma supporter. He could have sent off my whole team. The 17 of them were in the away end. So there's the time, but then there's the sending off as well with Forestieri, which was the other big talking point from this one. Where do you both stand on that?
Well, look, I think Paul Warren's got to be a little bit careful here because I was at the Den and they played Millwall. They were time-wasting in the first half. Okay, they set up to take a point, you know, wipe their nose, get out of there. Every time I went out for a throw, they must have walked. They threw the ball the opposite way. I mean, the goalkeeper spotted the ball in one part of a six-yard box, then walked over to the other. So I think Paul Warren, he's got to take it as a bit of tit for tat here. Take it on the chin.
And the sending off?
Seems harsh, doesn't it? I don't like the rule. I think that's another one that I'd be inclined to look at changing, as I would with taking your shirt off. It's just nonsense, isn't it, really? But look, it's, rules are rules, and Forestieri just got a bit too carried away, didn't he? And he's going to miss the next game as a consequence. So, but look, it was a cracking match. And I think when you compare that Rotherham performance to the ineptitude of Reading's performance at Sheffield United, I know they were away, you've got to be looking at Rotherham and thinking that they're going to push the likes of Reading right the way in terms of this survival bid. I'd back them actually over Reading.
Here's me trying to push an agenda on getting a countdown clock and actually to say that it's all right to celebrate with the fans, but you two have none of it. Joe, do you want to join me on that?
Absolutely, yeah.
Good, thanks. I'll double high five you for that. Blackburn 0, Borough 1. I did want to talk about that because the Matt Stanger Appreciation Society has been in touch. He formerly of this parish. Will Blackburn ever win again? Do we have odds on that?
We don't, but things aren't looking great, are they?
Well, they've got Bolton, so they win that one, won't they?
the double high fives are coming out again.
That must, because of Matt, that must be the only reason that we're mentioning that game, because it was absolutely terrible.
Good.
I actually sat and watched it, and Blackburn were awful. Middlesbrough could have been miles ahead. They could have been 3-4-0 up by the time Blackburn had their first shot in the 87th minute. So, yeah, will Blackburn ever win again? On the basis of Sunday, maybe not.
And top scorer odds?
Well, things have changed, as they always do. A couple of weeks ago, we touched on these, and Tammy Abraham was the favourite, 2-1. He's now 4-1, third favourite, and it is a race now between Pookie and Sharp. 6-4 for Timu Pookie, 9-4 for Billy Sharp.
I would like to do 4 hours on what's happening at Aston Villa and Tammy Abraham. Can we? No. So competition time. Fancy going to a derby in West London or the Steel City? Well, have I got news for you. We have two pairs of tickets to Brentford versus QPR on Saturday the 2nd of March and two pairs to Sheffield Wednesday against Sheffield United on Monday the 4th of March. You heard that right. What a great competition. If you'd like to be in with a chance of winning, then head to Instagram, our Instagram, search for @totallyfootballshow, give the post a like, and you could be on your way to Griffin Park or Hillsborough. Competition closes on the 21st for the West London Derby and the 25th for the Steel City Derby. If that's all a little bit complicated, the T's and C's are on Audioboom and all the details are on Instagram. So head to Instagram, find us @totallyfootballshow for your chance to win that competition. That is the Championship done. League One is after the next thing you hear. To League One then, and League One leaders Luton, that's 1-0 over perfect alliteration. What a shame. Continue their brilliant form to beat Fleetwood 2-1 and set a new club record for unbeaten games. Now 20 games unbeaten since Luton's last league loss in October. And that was second place Barnsley who beat them then. This weekend, Barnsley beat Wycombe Wanderers 2-1 and moved 5 points clear of Portsmouth in third, who managed to draw at Southend despite leading 3-0. And at the other end of the table, Peterborough's 1-0 win over Oxford United puts the U's into the relegation zone. They're in all sorts of bother off the pitch too. Fleetwood 1, Luton 2, Portsmouth, Sunderland, Charlton drawing, Barnsley there. The top of the league looks like it's Luton's to lose.
Yeah, it does really. I think Luton have been just brilliant, haven't they? And it's good that they've cleared things up with Mick Harford. He's going to have the job, isn't he, till the end of the season. There's just no point changing it, is there? They're just, the bandwagon keeps rolling on. And Moncur's come into the team at the weekend. He's had to be patient for his opportunity. He's just bent one into the top corner. Different class, really. This is a team full of hungry players with a really good attitude and loads of talent. And I think that they will go up. And it's beginning to feel as if Barnsley will join them. They're two excellent football teams, and that's and their mindset is all about scoring goals rather than trying to be too fancy or setting up to defend. They're a great advertisement for the division.
They are one of those teams that actually, he's gone in, he's seen them, he's seen what all the fans have seen watching them too. They're all perfectly fine. Why change it? They're all doing the right things, and he's just carried them on.
Yeah, I think he's been a really wise appointment. I mean, I was at a game actually, and he was there, and I turned. We shook hands, and it was a bone crushing shake, you know, which my hand took a while to recover from. But you know, apparently, look, he doesn't want the job. He's really happy with his scouting. Apparently, he just continued in the same vein as Nathan Jones. So the shape hasn't changed, training hasn't changed. Now he has tweaked things slightly. For example, he's brought in Alan McCormack a bit more often, used him a little bit more. What old wise ahead, and I think, very sensibly, they went for a steady hand, someone to come in, not rock the boat. And apparently, you know, he was watching training lots, so he knew what they were doing. He knew the players, he knew their personalities. So he's just continued in the same vein. I think it's a really astute appointment to get them over the line. And I think they will go up.
Can I make another suggestion too? Had Nathan Jones remained at Luton, there would have been questions around him between whenever the first question started and the end of the season about whether he was going to move on and other jobs, because there would have been other managers sacked and gone, and he'd been linked to everything left, right and centre. It was almost, if it was going to happen, it was almost the right timing for it to happen too.
Yeah, I guess so. In terms,
right, you don't have to buy that one. That's fine. I was just saying, if he'd stayed, there might be more questions. They might have been more unsettled, and it maybe may have unsettled them.
Quite possibly.
Him.
No, you do make a good point there. Thanks. Even though we were very slow to react to that excellent point.
Hopefully Joe Criddy's not slow to react. So I want the odds if Nathan... No, I don't. You're all right. Unbeaten to the end of the season, Luton. What odds?
33-1.
Think they'll do it?
Well, the way that they're playing at the moment, there's no reason to suggest why not.
So he's distracted enough. Don't distract him some more so that he hops on and sticks some money on that.
That will be going up presently. So get all your money on there.
Getting on the app.
You're rotters. There were plenty of games within League One that we could have gone to, but Southend 3, Portsmouth 3. To be 3-0 up after half an hour, to see it pulled back to 3-3, particularly in the position they're in and where they want to be, Portsmouth.
For Portsmouth, I think it's a disaster. For Southend, I think it's a performance of the season. I saw Southend at Charlton and they were excellent, actually. They went a man down at the Valley. They were 1-0 up and they were brilliant. Humphreys up top was outstanding. They were all, you know, to a man, fantastic. And obviously, to get that result with so many players out through injury, illness, suspension, to then claw three goals back, I mean, I think it's just brilliant.
14 players missing. 14 first teamers missing for Chris Powell.
He doesn't get enough credit. And he does seemingly, I think, get some people throwing stuff at, not actually throwing stuff at him. But there were wobbles around him. There were questions around him and his future. And he seems to continually do a brilliant job against it all.
I rate him. I've always rated him as a manager. He's a good person as well. Players like to play for Chris Powell. Yeah. It's the first time since January 2000, they've come back from 3-0 down to get any kind of points. And I think it's fitting that Simon Cox was the star of the show with a hat trick. I mean, the third goal was just sensational in terms of the reverse pass from Dieng and the finish. But Cox, for me, has been outstanding in a difficult season. I think he's at his best as a partner to another front man. that's his game. But he's had to play up top on his own a lot this season, and he's also had to drop back into midfield, number 10 role, or even be used out wide at times, Simon Cox. So, but he's got 15 goals. Wherever he's played, he's done a job for the team. And yeah, I reckon he's got a really good chance of being their player of the year.
Take a look at the League One table, and Kenny Jackett after this one says, we have to be tough enough to go again and realise the position that we're in. 3-3 at Southend, Portsmouth third, last five games, lost, lost, drawn, drawn, drawn. What's going on with Portsmouth?
Well, look, they had the early kickoff. I mean, that was a sign, I guess, to put out to the likes of Luton and Barnsley, saying, no, here we go, we're going to pick up 3 points here, which it looked like, and then put you under pressure. As it was, that capitulation, I think, gave Luton and Barnsley all the encouragement they needed. Now, where has it gone wrong? For me, Ben Thompson's a massive loss. He went back to Millwall. He was their kind of linchpin in midfield. He could do everything, get around the park. They loved him down at Fratton. So that's a big blow. Ronan Curtis, Jamal Lowe, not scoring, not assisting. Injuries to Jack Watmore, no clean sheets. I mean, to be honest, everything's going wrong at exactly the wrong time. Now, Kenny's an experienced manager. You know, he's been through all this before. However, I do worry that one, they're not scoring enough goals, and two, they're not keeping them out. He's gone away from his normal formation to a sort of 4-2-3-1 to a 4-4-2. But to me, I'm really worried. Obviously, they're 5 points lead at one point, and now they're obviously so far behind. It looks difficult for them.
You would think automatic's gone, you would think, even though, as you say, just 5 points behind, purely because of their run of form. Although you look behind them in fourth, Sunderland, drawn one, drawn, drawn, drawn. Can't pick up for a win for Toffee. They're a further point back. Charlton behind them too. Those teams as well not picking up those wins to put the pressure on Barnsley.
No, Charlton had lost Carl and Grant, didn't they? And that partnership, Taylor and Grant, was dynamite. And with one half of the duo gone, they don't look the same, do they, Charlton? So they're fizzling a little bit. Doncaster have got good momentum.
Yeah.
I would probably fancy them to nail down a playoff spot. You just wonder whether the chasing pack are too far back now. Coventry obviously had a good win at the weekend. You think, could they be the one that comes from deep? I've looked at Coventry's fixtures, actually. They're actually the team to watch between now and the end of the season, because they will effectively help to decide what happens. They play six of the top seven away from home. So they go to all of the contenders, except for Charlton. And they're at home to all the teams at the bottom of the table, Bristol Rovers, Oxford, Shrewsbury and Bradford. So Coventry City, there's going to be a lot riding on almost every single game they play.
3-0 win over Walsall. Cov Inter Pitt GB says maybe Coventry will get a mention for the first time in months. It's better actually just to fly under the radar and see what happens with Coventry coming up the table. Ninth at the moment, 46 points. Doncaster occupying for the moment that final playoff position on 53 points. So Coventry, there you go, closing in, breathing down their necks. Any other mentions? Oxford United, the owners of the Kassam, have started a winding up petition claiming £240,000 owed. Club saying funding has been agreed in principle for the due amount to be paid. How many more winding up orders could they face? We were talking about Blackpool at the start of the show. Blackpool, Oxford United this weekend, oh, the irony. How do they turn things around? It's difficult for Oxford. Losing to Peterborough 1-0 at the weekend.
Yeah, no shame in that defeat, I don't think. I mean, Peterborough, they desperately needed a win under Ferguson to get his regime going. And I thought it was a really good goal, actually. If you haven't seen it, it was a cleverly worked free kick. And he gets into space. And I tell you what, he's not favourite to score. The angle is really tight. Mm. And he lashes it in. Ivan Toney, considering he started, I don't know, practically the first 3 months of the season on the bench, I think his goal tally is really impressive. So I'd rather praise Peterborough than hammer Oxford for that one.
But they've got enough hammering them at the moment. But I do just think, how can you get another winding up petition against you? For the fans who haven't been going but think, what are we going to do? Is it a couple of games away from home for them, maybe just to ride that bit of pressure out?
They've had a tough run of games as well, you've got to remember. Barnsley, obviously, Sunderland and Peterborough. So it's a club I went to. I spent a little bit of time there on loan towards the end of my career. And the sooner they can fill in that end where the cars are and the ball goes over, the better. Even if it's just an Arsenal type, you know, hoarding, who knows. But actually, it's got real problems. I mean, when I was there, you know, no revenue from match day goes to them. It all goes to Kassam. And the issues just go on and on and on.
You can't survive
No, they
that.
Can't. I mean, no. You know, there's just no revenue for them. So the sooner they can, get out of, whether it's out of that stadium, move to another stadium. I don't know what the solution is for Oxford, but I know that it's been going on too long.
That is the end of League One. You'll find League Two right around the river bend. Into League then, and Stevenage came from 2-2 to draw 2-2 with a late stoppage time equaliser against league leaders Lincoln City. Bury took advantage of Mansfield losing to bottom team Notts County, and now up to second following a 1-0 win over Exeter. Paul Scholes' Oldham TM, great article by the way on the BBC Sport website about how he's doing. They conceded a late equaliser against Crewe, his second games as Lactics boss, drawing 1-1, and Sol Campbell's Macclesfield were held to a 1-1 draw against Colchester. Good result that, albeit I'm sure that he wanted to win it, of course. Leaves the Silkmen second from bottom, a point from safety. Is this the best looking bottom of the table anywhere in football at the moment? Macclesfield 1-1 with Colchester. Forest Green 3, Yeovil 0. Yeovil getting dragged into it. Notts County 28 from 32. Macclesfield 29 from 33. Yeovil 30 from 33. Morecambe 32 from 32. Port Vale 33 from 32. Ooh. There's momentum down the bottom with those two bottoms.
Not half, yeah. I think Macclesfield and Notts County are two of the more informed sides in the division, aren't they? And yeah, the likes of Port Vale have got to be worried. Yeovil particularly could easily get sucked in. If it was the final day of the season, can you imagine that? If it's like this on the final day of the season, that tight, that would be incredible. But Notts County, I know we've spoken about them a lot this season, but I think that the supporters actually deserve a bit of credit. Turning out in force, aren't they? 12,000. I know it was a derby against Mansfield, but 12,000, by all accounts, they drove the team on big time. And Flitcroft afterwards, the Mansfield manager, was basically accusing his players of being scared, of being too anxious, that the atmosphere, the whole occasion, got the better of his players, which isn't a great sign for them moving forwards because they've got some big games to come. But Notts County's revamp continues apace, doesn't it? Lovely stuff.
And I just look at their fixtures to come and the fact they've got a game in hand on Macclesfield. Do you think, David, that they'll catch Macclesfield, but both of them could catch each other and be out of the relegation place?
I think so. I mean, you've got to remember, he's got 7 points out of three really difficult games. And I bumped into him actually at AFC Wimbledon, Neil Ardley. He had a night off, so he was there watching, and he said, "You just wouldn't believe how difficult a club it is to get right." And he did say, "Judge me in a couple of months." You know, and you've got to say he's probably called that right, because I think the first game he had was against Mansfield. And, you know, obviously now, a couple of months later, there's been a real change around. And I'm rooting for him. It's definitely a tough role. He's arguably jumped from, you know, the fire into the fire there. But I think he's going
to
do it.
On that, he did say that from that match, that defeat to Mansfield, in the opposite changing room, the Mansfield players were going bananas and they were cheering and they were basically rubbing Notts County's noses in it.
Yeah.
And he said that actually was a driving factor. It's the sort of thing, I mean, David would know this, you don't forget those moments, and I think you do have to use them. The pain of listening to the other team celebrating at your expense, use it in a positive way, and they did.
And everything you've heard from him in the past, he's the type of manager, as you say, that will use that and will get the crowd behind, galvanise them too, as they seem to be at the moment. But then it's kind of who loses out as a result, and whether it is Yeovil. They've got Cambridge at home, Morecambe at home, Lincoln away, then Port Vale away to come. What a big game for them away with that Port Vale at the end of that run. Macclesfield have got Crawley away, Bury away, Milton Keynes at home, Exeter at home, Notts County, Newport at home, which Newport side's going to come out after the FA Cup for them. Tranmere away, Port Vale at home, and Cheltenham away. Notts County's run, nothing to say against any of those teams they're playing, but you think that they'll maybe pick up some of those points in that. Joe, has anything changed towards the reflections at the bottom?
I wonder what the odds are, because Yeovil, I think, have lost six in a row. I can't believe that they wouldn't be in the form they're going, one of the favourites certainly to go down. And that's what I think gives the likes of Notts County hope.
Yeah, well, it's based purely on the table at the moment, more or less. Macclesfield 4-7 to go down, Notts County even money, so they're the two favourites. But yeah, Yeovil 5-4. They would have thought around Christmas time, just after Christmas, New Year, they'd have thought Notts County and Macclesfield are as good as gone. But those two have had a real upturn in form, and Morecambe as well now 2-1 to go down. So they've been sucked right into it as well.
Forestieri, who we were talking about earlier with the high five, second booking, sending off Dino Mamria in the Lincoln 2 Stevenage 2, ran the length of the pitch to celebrate with Stevenage's equaliser. Said he had no regrets. He was sent off. That's football.
Same.
Yeah. Taking both
the goal?
Those in.
Did you see the quality of the goal as
but
well?
You would celebrate like that. I know you don't want to wind the fans up. I know that. I get that, right? But you want to see that from your manager. You want to see that from your players, don't you?
You do. I mean, Dino's obviously, he's been always the bridesmaid. I keep saying this, but obviously behind Graham Wesley for a long, long time, he's now got that chance. He's wanted to be a manager, and certainly he's got an affinity for Stevenage. So, yeah, you can see the emotion there. And, hey, what a result. Mm. I mean, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong. It's great to see some sort of emotion, isn't it, rather than always being held in.
He's proper Stevenage man. And I know there's backroom staff. I played with a few of them, Jason Goodliffe among them. And I just wonder whether this loan signing of Elias Chair, who scored the goals, two absolute beauties, weren't they? That's a real coup. This kid, I mean, he's not what you call a big name, I guess, a Moroccan, isn't he? But he had 8 games for QPR this season, and a lot of them in the Championship. Mm. So suddenly he finds himself in League Two. He's probably feeling at 21 years of age, I can be the daddy here, and blimey, if he keeps that up.
And I think actually the likes of Stevenage and Accrington are benefiting from basically QPR's financial problems, which means they've got to just let anyone go out on loan. So Smith scored at the weekend for Accrington, obviously Chair got a couple for Stevenage, so yeah, brilliant.
Jason Goodliffe, one of those unsung assistants or coaches within it, and and from Wimbledon as well, I guess you'll know him too. He's one of those that you think he'll go on and be a great manager, or he might just enjoy just stepping behind, letting someone else take that flak up front. But another good egg, as you were saying. Stevenage then 4 points off the playoffs. Carlisle have dropped down to 7th. Colchester are 6th in the playoffs at the moment, and Stevenage really putting a bit of a motor on. As for Lincoln, yeah, they're top of the league. They're top of the league by 2 points. They've got a goal in hand, but one drawn. They have drawn 11 this season. They're 2 points ahead of Bury with the game in hand. Bury have drawn 9 and Mansfield have drawn 13. They love a draw in those top three. It'll do for one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that Bury are probably the best team in the division at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah.
Lincoln are definitely having a slight wobble. No question about that.
They'll be all right.
I'll tell you who needed their win at the weekend. MK Dons. Blimey. They were sinking like a stone, weren't they? And they went to a sold out Brunton Park. So there was a ticket deal on, which I think is great. And more, it just baffles me why more teams don't do these deals more often. But they can backfire. And I've been at a few of these stadiums down the years where they've tickets for a quid or something. You sell it out, and then the home team, goes and has a mare. They freeze on a big occasion. So that one might have played into MK's hands. And you wonder now, might they kick on from that victory?
Carlisle 2, Milton Keynes, Dons 3. Any other results from the weekend in League 2 you'd like to chat about? Abby's given me a no because she wants to move on. We talked about down the bottom and relegation. Have Lincoln done themselves some harm at the top, Joe?
Yeah, if you remember, they were about 1-4, 1-5 to win the league at New Year. They're now 5-4 to win the league. Bury 2-1, Mansfield 9-2.
What are they to go up? Because, I mean, you've got to remember in that division, they've got a bit of a gap still down to fourth. So they've got 3 spaces, which I think they'll do it. They're definitely having a wobble. But you've got to remember the signings they made, the loan signings of really high quality. They've gone for it, no doubt. They've splashed the cash, which I think eventually we'll see them over the line.
They've got a game in hand on them and right down to 8th. So as you say, they're all right. And they've got those points as well. 62 points. Milton Keynes are in 4th. They've got 56 points.
Yeah, they're 1-8 to get promoted. So looks like they're pretty much up, despite the mini wobble. Bury 1-6, Mansfield 4-11.
We all love a bit of silverware, though, don't we? If our cabinets are big enough. Some midweekers, meaning everything we've just said could change coming up this weekend. Best of the bunch, Leeds up against Bolton, Norwich, Bristol City, West Bromwich Albion up against Sheffield United. Portsmouth, Barnsley. I'm not laughing at Sheffield United. I was just thinking, who is it? Yeah, they're playing Sheffield United this weekend. That's right. Portsmouth, Barnsley, Luton, Coventry. That's a Sunday one. Bury, Oldham, Mansfield, Forest Green Rovers, Yeovil, Cambridge United are my picks, but you can have any you like.
I would pick out Yeovil, Cambridge on that theme of sort of teams that are looking to preserve their EFL status. Cambridge are one of the form teams actually in the division. I think across the last 6 games they're right up there, not
they
losing.
They needed to be.
Oh yeah, of course they did. And they drew with Tranmere, but looking at the highlights, they battered Tranmere. So if they can go to Yeovil and win, I think that might just give them the belief that they're out of it. Yeovil desperately need the points there.
One game I'm going to tonight, QPR West Brom, which I think will be a good one. You know, QPR have had a bit of an indifferent season, some real bad results of late. West Brom, I think, certainly need the 3 points. And then obviously the next day you've got Derby Millwall. And I've got a feeling that, you know, maybe Frank Lampard's inexperience might count against him in terms of those teams just above him.
Whoa. You mean the next Chelsea manager, Frank Lampard?
Yes, I
do. It's already done, isn't it?
On that, I've saved this stat for now. It's perfect timing.
Go on.
Right. There was one of the tweets said, who do you see coming from deep? I'm going to go against David here. I'm going to say, because they weren't very good at Brighton. Lampard laid into the team. It might be perfect timing for them to have a little wake up. I've looked at the fixtures. I know fixtures don't matter completely. But Derby have got to play 7 of the bottom 10 at home. 7 of the bottom 10 at home. These are absolutely winnable games. If they win almost all of them, that'll be enough alone to get them into the playoffs. I think, yeah, so they've got 5 top half teams, 9 from the bottom half, 7 at home. So there you go. Heard it here first.
I'm madly trying to find, I think it was Jim, wasn't it? Barca Jim, asking who was going to go on a run throughout the league.
That's it.
At the Totally Show for all your comments. Thank you, everyone that's got in touch, who I've now forgotten who said what. But thank you. It is appreciated and we do read it. Just don't take it in properly, clearly. One other point before I let you go, just on the QPR game that's happening in the next few hours. Loftus Road, my top 5. If you're going to go to a ground midweek, top 5 games to go to would be at Loftus Road, would it not?
Absolutely.
I said top 5, Joe.
I remember getting charged 50 quid to go and watch Bolton play at
QPR. Oh, well,
you're
ridiculous.
50 quid? £50. It was just before...
Was that before the FFP fine or after?
It was first game in the Premier League.
Oh. But atmosphere-wise, I'm not saying about how much it cost to get
Bolton
in.
Bolton won 4-0, so atmosphere was great.
Adrian?
Leeds.
Leeds.
Yeah, Leeds. Great.
But you'd have Loftus Road in top 5.
I might.
And you can combine it with a shopping trip to Westfield. What more do you want?
Really?
Good one as well.
Not going there. I do. No. Anyway, at the Totally Show, for your top 5 grounds you'd like to go to midweek or anything else besides, thank you for everyone for getting in touch with your questions. I'm not here next week. I'm going to go and put my teeth back in. But it is throwback time. Ian the Mac Macintosh will be hosting alongside Adrian and Sam. In the meantime, AC, DC and JC, thank you. From me, CB, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to the Totally Football League Show, a Muddy Knees Media production. For sales and advertising, email sales@muddyneesmedia.com and be sure to check out our other football shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audio Boom and everywhere else you get your audio on demand. Supporting your team can be a beautiful thing, but then come the injuries, the goal droughts and the downright disastrous defeats. That's a little bit like life, really, and here at the Totally Football Show, we believe we should all support each other the way we support our team, through the good days and the bad. And that's why we're continuing to work with CALM, the Campaign Against Living Miserably, a charity dedicated to preventing male suicide. On average, 12 men take their own life every day in the UK, so that's your starting 11 and your manager every single day. And part of the problem is that many of us still feel uncomfortable talking about mental health and suicide, and this can often stop men from opening up and getting support when they need it the most. So if you're worried that someone close to you is having a tough time, check in with them and let them know that CALM is there. Every day from 5 p.m. till midnight, CALM provide a free, confidential and anonymous helpline and web chat for any man who needs support. Visit thecalmzone.net to find out more about CALM.